The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The Workday Replay from Money FM 89.3. Mind Your Business with Howie Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
It's where we look at the SME sector here, and as it powers half our economy and hires 70% of our people. Now, services 4.0, something that's coming up, I think, as people recognize or companies recognize that customer experience is really important. How are you treating your customers so that they stay with you? Now, the service sector is, though, continuing to be plagued by digital transformation roadblocks. For example, IT talent shortage, also app backlogs and long development cycles. And this is despite the fact that the services industry is a potential growth engine for the Singapore digital economy. It comprises about 70% of the GDP. Now, that's according to OutSystems 2019 State of Application Development Study. It seems 16% of organizations in the Asia Pacific and Singapore have a backlog of more than 10 applications. Mark Wiese is going to help us out. He is Vice President Asia Pacific at OutSystems. Mark, it's a pleasure to have you this morning.
Thank you very much, Howie.
Our services-oriented economy, Singapore's anyway, has a heightened focus on customer experience. What is that focus?
Organizations today have, you know, tremendous stress over transforming themselves digitally to remain competitive. And you know, I think a lot of IT before was focused on internal, you know, operations around making their internal processes more efficient, the whole kind of ERP revolution around Y2K. But now it's really being driven by, you know, the change around customer needs. And it's these emerging technologies that's creating this tremendous disruption across almost all industries today. And so
What needs to happen for the customer experience to be better, besides speed, I suppose, and having information at your fingertips?
Well, you know, organizations need to become much more agile today than they were before to respond to those changing needs. You know, before, you know, people would do an IT project and they would have a kind of a start and an end, and it usually wouldn't be implemented on time and it would over budget. But now, you know, the customer needs are changing on an ongoing basis, almost in the middle of a project. So it's really agility that gives companies the ability to compete now. And we see a lot of, you know, our customers at OutSystems. So we're in the business of what we call low-code application development. What that really means is that software has really been one of the major drivers around productivity for enterprises around the last 20 or 30 years. But the process of building software is almost an artisan task. It's been traditionally done by coders. It's limited in the amount of, you know, people that you can actually find to do it. But with low code, what we're doing is we're automating the entire process of building software so that it's much more agile than before and much quicker. So in an
to the point of anyone can do it? Surely not.
Well, it's a much easier now to be able to build applications. You know, we have you know, the ability for anyone to actually go on our website, outsystems.com, and actually download a personal version. I've had customers tell me that their 12-year-old son or daughter has been able to build applications using low code. So it's a really revolutionary change in the way software is built so that companies can be more agile to respond to customers under this type of services 4.0.
So this would obviously help, because the study showed that you've got about 16% of organizations in the region, they have a backlog of more than 10 applications.
Yes.
So perhaps 10 things going, but they just can't seem to finish.
Yeah, because if you put yourself in the position of an IT manager or a CIO or someone that's responsible for app development for their company, they have a lot of stress now. So you have this convergence of technology. So you have cloud, which gives companies unlimited reach. You've got mobile, you know, which, you know, helps you to really scale and reach, you know, information that you never could before. You got IoT and you got artificial intelligence. So you got the convergence of these four we call superpowers of IT creating this tremendous, you know, change. And it's an opportunity for a lot of companies, but it's also a huge risk and challenge to manage that. So if you're an IT manager, you know, what kind of pressure do you have today that, you know, maybe you didn't have 5 years ago? 5 years ago, you're responsible for maintaining the network, procuring PCs for your workers now. But what do you have right now? You have, you know, sometimes the ability of the organization to be successful is dependent upon being able to reach out to your customers and giving them, you know, information that they need as their behaviors change. And you also have your maybe your CEO or your board saying, well, look, we need to digitally transform the company to survive. But then you also have to maintain this what we call technical debt, which is all the old systems that you've put in place.
Oh, the legacy systems.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's what we find, particularly with outsystems and low code, is a really growth area where, you know, companies have this tremendous technical debt that they need to manage now. And it's getting old and creaky and hard to maintain. And even some of the technologies, they can't find developers to be able to enhance it. So you have this whole movement toward this much more agile approach around low code software development.
How does OutSystems come into play? How many of these pain points on these digital transformation journeys with regard to the services industry does it hit? So we talked about how it's talent shortage, for example. You've got the backlog, which you do help out, and the long development cycles.
Primarily around agility and speed. So I think if you talk to our customers in Singapore or around the world, they'll say that the low-code platform gives them the ability to be much more agile to produce value for their customers. So if it's a government, you know, agency in Singapore, their customers would be the citizens. If it's a private enterprise, you know, it could be, you know, the customers of their products. So to be able to give them the ability to respond to their needs in a much quicker way is really what OutSystems is all about. And I think if you talk to our customers, they'll say, look, low-code platform gives us speed and early time to value, fast time to value, where, you know, projects, you know, in a traditional environment, you know, could take a lot longer and, you know, have a lot more risk around, you know, producing value quickly, which can kill a project very fast.
What's the feedback you're seeing so far? How willing are organizations to maybe relook their legacy systems and maybe give OutSystems a shot?
Early in the development of low code, as it really started to emerge as a space, let's say 3 or 4 years ago, the primary focus was on internal applications. Okay, we have a paper process. We want to automate that. But what we've seen really
– Excel spreadsheet?
Yeah, exactly. Stuff that's on Excel. A lot of actually, you know, companies have taken stuff off of Excel and put it onto a, you know, an easy to develop platform. But, you know, with the mobile revolution actually changed a lot of the adoption around low code as well. And I think we're starting to see now companies look at these more higher value added type of applications around customer experience and then now core replacement. We think in the next, you know, 5 to 7 years, we're going to see a tremendous uptake in low-code technology around replacing these old legacy systems. And most of the industry analysts say that, you know, our space will continue to develop, you know, around 40 to 50% growth year over year. And a lot of that's going to be driven by replacement of these old legacy systems that just are too expensive to maintain and take up too much time of an IT department that has to innovate to survive.
Mm. Mark, talk to us about, is it easier, say, for you to help out a company that has these legacy systems or one that's starting from scratch?
Well, we actually have both. You know, we have many startup companies that have, let's say they want to start with low code because they want to maintain their ability to be agile. And then you have some companies that are very traditional companies, you know, very large companies. You know, we're you know, a global company. I'll give an example. You know, we service a lot of auto industry companies, some of the leading auto companies in the world. And they're very quickly moving to this type of low-code technology because they feel that the amount of disruption that they're going to have in their industry over the next 5 to 10 years will completely realign the industry. So perhaps the top 10 players in the auto industry now will be totally different in 10 years.
You're talking about auto manufacturers?
Auto manufacturers, exactly.
Yeah.
So, of course, they still want to be in that top 10. But, you know, with technologies like electrification, you know, or driverless cars – you know, the auto industry is going to be really thrown on its head. So they're adopting low code as well. So we're seeing both, to answer your question.
How accessible are your services, though? Stuff makes you do things faster,
sure.
Is smaller, and usually is more expensive.
Well, the best thing about it is it's easier to learn. So since we're automating the process of developing software, it's a much easier process for people to learn how to actually develop using the technology. And, you know, I would say on average, we can develop an application around 5 times faster than, you know, someone could with traditional coding.
But in real time, what's that? A couple of days,
okay,
couple of
weeks? For example, a project that would take, let's say, a year before to develop, you know, we may be able to do in 2 to 3 months.
Okay.
A project that might take, you know,
three or four months.
It could take 8 weeks, depending on the complexity. So, and that's really important in, with today's pace of change around business. I mean, business is changing at a much faster rate. And I think that came out in our report on the state of application development, is that the pace of change is accelerated tremendously and is putting a lot of stress on IT departments.
Earlier, we said that for companies with the legacy systems, obviously it would be a challenge then to try and get some systems in place that would help and put out systems on it as well. But for a startup, how easy is it? How quick is it? What sort of challenges might they face?
Well, obviously it depends on their application. I think what they need to do is first make a decision. You know, do they want to develop the application themselves? Do they want out systems to do it, or do they want one of their business partners to do it? And I think the model that we find in this region, in Asia Pacific, including Singapore, is most companies want us to work with their business partners. So what we'll do is we'll engage their business partners as a partner of out systems, and we'll help enable them to be able to enable their end customer to develop applications very quickly. And that would be the same for a startup or a traditional company that has a long history and a lot of legacy systems as well.
Just out of curiosity, Mark, you said that you had friends whose 12-year-old kid decided to develop themselves an app. What
sure.
did they do?
I'm not really sure. You know, maybe it was
IP.
Have their parents give them the newest version of the iPad or the iPhone. I'm not really sure, but they could develop a mobile app, and you can actually download that from our website.
On a personal level, Mark, how do you keep up with technology and how the world's changed so much? I mean, when we were kids, the paper was thrown to our door. We had to go to the library to research for our school projects, etc.
I would say probably two ways. I think number one is I talk a lot to my customers. So they're really telling me what challenges that they're having and, what technologies that they're thinking about implementing. I think that's one. I think another one would be self-research. And the other one is listening to my children. So they've grown up in a digital native age.
Yes.
And
your selfie looks awful, Mom.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. Someone like myself that was born with in the analog age. I still have one foot in the analog age and one foot in the digital age. So I try to make sure that I can remain relevant, but I'm not going to download Snapchat. So
yes.
I draw the line somewhere.
I still will clean my record player every now and then. Mark Weiser is Vice President for Asia Pacific at Out Systems. You can check them out. Outsystems.com. That is OUTSYSTEMS.com. Mark, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Howie.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.